Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
Do you fancy yourself as an artist, entertainer, or storyteller? Do you want to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio or Christopher Nolan? Well, the UBC Players Club would like to work with you. The Players Club is an ambitious amateur theater group and the perfect place to get involved in theater or gain more experience as an actor, director, designer, producer, or anything and everything else theater related. Our motto, Theater on Your Own Terms, means the club is entirely student run and formed around the ambitions of its members. Find us on Facebook or at ubcplayersclub.com.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
Thank you. Good afternoon. You are listening to Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM. I am here with my co-host Eleanor, and my name is Erica. And we also have a very special guest on the show today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm very special. Thank you. I'm Robin. I am, or was, in the band Cub, and I am a spoonbender, and some other things too, including a CITR alumni.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. And we have some big questions and things that we're planning for today and some music to play.
We started the show with the song Universe by the artist Faith Healer off of the forthcoming album Cosmic Troubles, which will be out on Mint in March, I believe. And after that, it was the track Cement by the band Pups. And that was released on a CITR Pop Alliance compilation back in 2012, I believe. And that was put out with Mint. Great, great comp. They should check out lots of good Vancouver bands on that one. So,
kind of. We also had a brief interlude of the Courtneys, 90210. Yes. That was just a little tidbit for all y'all listeners.
A little happy accident.
No, it wasn't an accident. Just trying to fit more music in, that's all.
That's all it was. It was planned.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically every week we play all FemCon on our show. And a few weeks ago, I met Robin at Shindig, which is CITR's Battle of the Bands contest. And we thought it would be really cool to have her come on and talk about lots of different things. So thank you so much for coming in today.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
We thought we'd maybe start off a little bit with some of your own personal history with CITR and Discorder. When did you first come to the station?
If you're talking about a year, I would guess, guessing 87, 88 maybe?
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was...
Ouch. How old are you?
And that was with your brother, Randy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And were you a student at the time?
I was, I was kind of in between high school and community college. Cool. At that point. I wasn't quite at UBC yet.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And you had a show here on CITR at that point, or you got a show eventually.
Yeah. Basically what I did was... when I first showed up here at the station was I started with just kind of sitting on a stool in the Discorder room, smiling at everybody and helping to stuff envelopes and things for Discorder. Over the course of several years, I worked my way up from like a record librarian to traffic director. I worked my way through the CITR executive, all the positions, until I was at one point the president and also the music director. So, you know.
Wow.
I was here a while. Well, yeah, not that long.
But you dabbled.
Yes.
You covered your bases.
That's awesome. So in your time here, your show, at what point was that you had the show?
That was midpoint.
Okay, cool.
It's really hard to think back on what specific years they were. I would guess maybe 90, 91, 92, okay. Around there.
Cool.
And it was, the show was called Hanford Nuclear Pizza Pie, and it was all Pacific Northwest music, which at that point meant a lot of old school garage, like really true traditional garage music on 7 inches, that I would go down to Seattle with my brother. We'd take these road trips down to Seattle to go to the record stores down there and load up on 7 inches.
That's so awesome. Did you also take Discorders down there at that point?
We did. That was part of the trip also. And also eating a lot of really bad junk food. You know, the stuff that, like, what we know now really was not good for you, but it was so good back then.
That's awesome. That's so cool. And so... At that point, I mean, CITR was in the sub building that it's in right now.
Yes.
But the station, like the on-air studio, was in a different spot, right?
Yeah. Coming here today, it was kind of like, wow, so much has changed and things have been relocated into other rooms. You have more rooms than you did than we did back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, certain things have been switched around. but there's a fair bunch of things that are still the same. But I did hear that you guys are moving very soon, too. So
we are.
This is going to be my final trip out to the station where it is right now. I'm kind of, you know, wistful because the hallways that are plastered with the Rod Filbrandt Wombat comics, you know, that was a real identifying thing about the station. Was like, oh, you go in there, you can just read the walls.
But yeah.
Let's move forward, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, we're really excited.
Are you guys documenting that? Like, I know you're the digitization of...
Yeah, well, I think, like, the walls and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, there's been a lot of talk about, like, the ways that we can somehow preserve it, like, maybe cutting pieces of the walls out and giving... but I don't know, because I don't know what's happening to this building, like, the sub-building. Because
they're preserving, like, some parts and not others. So, like, the basement for certain clubs, like, they're still keeping that. Or, like, the pit pub they're still keeping. So I wonder if maybe
if they can
walls...
chip off a chunk of the wall.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll just do it and ask for forgiveness later.
Just taking little
take parts of the wall. Yeah, I mean, because it's a flat, you know, surface where all these little comics have been pasted up.
Yeah.
I can't remember who actually did it, but I applaud them for their
hard
thoroughness. Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah. So like you mentioned, a little bit about the digitization, though. So for those of you who don't know, CITR in a few weeks will be embarking on our annual fund drive, which is a week-long fundraiser where we raise money for different projects at the station. One of the things that we're doing this year with the money that we will raise is we're going to digitize all of CITR's historic reel-to-reels, which are basically old recordings of people's shows dating as far back as 1947, which is incredible. And so those will be all digitized and put online so that people can hear stuff that has literally never before been heard. And as somebody who has had a show in the past and has a history of CITR, can you speak to the significance of that or why you think it's important to do this type of thing?
Well, it's just nice to have that stuff accessible when it hasn't been for so long. I mean, it's always interesting to go into archives.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by them, you know, just to see how things were at that point, as well as the content itself and how awesome it might be or might not be, you know, so to speak. But yeah, I think the digitization of the reel-to-reels of the recordings of the shows, as well as Discorder, that's hugely a great thing to do, just because with the internet being what it is, where it's kind of this huge, never-ending place where you can find everything, to be able to access that also, you know, just to add to the whole stew, it's a good ingredient in that stew, you know.
Definitely. And just for kind of like the snapshots that it might show of Vancouver at certain points, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, who doesn't like to look online and see like collection of photos from X fill in the blank year,
totally.
Vancouver, circle whatever in Vancouver. It's awesome, and it's really good for your personal revisiting of where you were then, or if you weren't even born.
How it was to know how we got where we are today.
Because it's really fascinating to see changes in architecture, changes in fashion, just
totally.
Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Music totally tracks changes.
Well, I think it gives a lot of perspective to kind of how lucky we are to have CITR exist in the way that it does today. You know, there's been times in the history where, like, student exec have had to kind of really fight for support from the AMS and things like that, even to just get like students to pay $1 or $2 more than they did just so the station could function, right?
Oh, absolutely. So I remember that from when I was here. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think CITR can be seen by certain people as being this exclusive little clicky club, and people don't really know or just aren't aware of what it is. You know, like as with any club kind of situation, but to you know, it. What am I trying to say?
To kind of, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's good to see where we've come from.
Exactly, and also, sorry, the caffeine just hit me right then. That's what just wiped out every possible thought that was in my head. But just the fact that theater is a very unique situation, mm-hmm. because you can learn how to do radio in a very comfortable environment that's no pressure. That can also lead to like the professional radio, you know, TM kind of situation, or just, you know, your own personal experience of having this outlet,
yeah.
and access to all this music. It's amazing, because to be able to form your own show, it's a fantastic creative experience, you know.
Yeah.
And some people, I think, just don't know, or, you know, they if you don't know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. So we're trying to get more people out there to know that we exist.
Exactly.
And through digitization, I guess that could open up a whole new door of people who
don't
want to listen to contemporary radio but want to listen to historical radio.
Yeah, or in just because we're also going to be putting out a brand new website with money from FunDrive that integrates CITR and Discorder and makes us a lot more presentable online, because our current website's kind of struggle a little bit to get our content to people easily. So I think that that's also going to really just stick us out there even more, which is great. You know, and one of the other things that I feel like I remember reading about too, which relates to my own experience, and I'm sure yours too, Erica, is how CITR just kind of brings you to people with similar interests. Like, I've met some of my best friends here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that's how my band Cub formed. Mm-hmm. I met Lisa, the singer and bass player for Cub, here. We were very good friends, and, you know, one day she just asked me, do you want to be in this band? And it's not something I'd ever thought of before. But CITR is hugely important to me back then, you know, more so than me going to my classes. you know, it's a social environment and as well as a learning environment, and it's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, we're going to take a little music break. Speaking of Cub, we're going to play some stuff off of the Hot Dog Day 7-inch, which came out in 1993. Yes. We're going to listen to the track Flying Carpet and then My Chinchilla.
I saw your town, I saw your street, Satan sucks, but you're the best. Holy smokes, you passed the test. When I'm with you, I feel blessed. A chinchilla. Satan sucks, but you're okay. Since you came, things go my way. Here tomorrow, here today. A chinchilla. One day I woke up and everything was beautiful. My troubles had all fallen out the window. Satan sucks, but you're divine. Sitting pretty by my side. My oh my, a chinchilla.
Sparks and nothing. Share.
All right, you are tuned in now to Femme Concept here on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Eleanor.
My name's Erica.
My name's Robin.
Our very, very special guest in the studio today. We just heard a track called, what was that one called?
Erica? Redial Meant Remember.
Perfect. And that was off of the album Sender Receiver, correct?
No, actually, it was off of an EP called Show an Actual Size.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. That was a band that you were in from what time was that?
98 until, well, actually, we haven't really stopped. We just are kind of on hiatus right now.
Cool.
So several years.
Yeah, that's awesome. And before that, it was Some Cub, the song My Chinchilla, and before that, Flying Carpet off of the 7-inch Hot Dog Day, which came out back in 93. And so, Robin, you were one of the members of Cub. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm Spoonbender.
Yes, and I'm Spoonbender. So, Cub was one of the first releases on Mint, or within the first few years.
Yes,
right?
Yes, definitely.
You put out some like phenomenal stuff. I mean, I feel like I heard Betty Cola for the first time this past summer, and it was like discovering this like awesome treasure from the past. You know,
thank you.
And I feel like it has influenced a lot of people, like a lot of stuff that you hear now, even stuff like Supermoon. And
yeah, I feel like Vancouver totally like has this thing. There's like a lot of the bands now, like people do sound different, but there is kind of a consistency, and I feel like I can hear Cub kind of trickling into like some of the all-girl bands like Supermoon and the Oz even a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
bands that we love to play. So you were saying before the break, or before we played the tracks, that you met the other members of Cub here at CITR.
Yes. Lisa Marr, the bass player and vocalist, and also, well, I didn't meet Valeria here, but through the course of, mm-hmm. you know, common friends, Lisa and Bill Baker, who also worked at the station, that's how we all met and formed Cub. It was really awesome.
Yeah, CITR made it happen.
And then you were together for 5 years, around that?
Ish, yeah.
Around that? And, I mean, lots of, you guys toured in Canada, you toured in the States.
We toured relentlessly throughout our existence.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no days off kind of thing, which is great. It really just threw me out into the world and was really empowering. Mm-hmm. I mean, being at CITR itself was super empowering for me because, you know, growing up, I was very, very shy and reserved and, you know, insecure, etc. So CITR and Cub both were these huge things that kind of lifted me up and made me open to trying things, you know.
That's awesome. Had you played music before you started playing with Cub?
Just high school band.
Okay.
You know, I played the flute for several years, you know, from grade like 6 or 7 all the way to high school grad. But I'd never played the guitar before. So Cub was a huge, just like, okay, I have a guitar in my hands. What do I do with it, you know?
That's, yeah, I mean, that's really cool.
Well, I think that's kind of what Cub was at the core was all about, was just not being afraid to just try something, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Because, you know, it'll be Yoda and say there's no try, there's only do. So just do, you know? It was super fun and was really, really fulfilling for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, and looking now, I mean, the band Tough Age, it was just announced, who is a Mint band, they're going to be putting out a cover EP of the Hot Dog Day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just, what's hearing stuff like that for you?
It's really amazing because you just think like, how old are you? and I remember back when we were touring a lot, that there would be children at the shows, like little small toddlers dancing to the music, because you know the music of Cub did appeal to all ages.
Yeah.
So there are these little tiny children dancing, and now they're like you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, whoa, it's a trip. But you know, to have our music be a part of somebody's life that long
mm-hmm.
is really, it gives you the warm fuzzies. It's
yeah.
it's awesome, and I'm really happy that people still enjoy it.
Totally.
That's pretty cool.
So going from Cub, so Cub ended around 97 or 98.
Yeah.
And then did you go right into the next project that you worked on?
Pretty much, because I had met Dustin while being on a tour with Cub.
Okay.
We were touring with Pansy Division.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 95. And we met and we got along really well and we kept in touch. And around the time that he left Pansy Division and Cub was disbanding, he was starting up this new project called that would become I Am Spoonbender, and he's like, do you want to be a part of it? And I was like, yeah. So for the course of the many years after that, I basically was splitting my time between Vancouver and San Francisco trying to, you know, keep making music. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And what did you... You didn't play guitar in I Am Spoonbender, did you?
No, it was another huge, like, confidence-boosting, just, you know, carpe diem kind of situation where it's like, I'm going to play synthesizers now and I'm going to sing more. And yeah, it was a challenge. And I think, you know, growing up, like I said, challenging myself in that way wasn't really a part of who I was. I was more just like the reserved, just work on my own little thing by myself. So to step out and be in this group that was very like visual and very bold was a new experience for me, and really also super, super good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the music was so, like, I've read some of the different descriptions of I Am Spoonbender, of people trying to, like, describe the music, and it's so funny because they're all so different because there's so many different things going on, but it has such a unique sound. So, and the music video is also, like, lots of different stuff happening.
And it sounds like stuff that could be made totally, like, now. Like, I feel like I hear, like, influences of it in around Vancouver bands. Like, I'm thinking of, like, Kelarissa, you know what I mean? And then,
well, that's awesome. I'm really glad to hear that, because that really was what we were aiming for, was to do something that wasn't being done, that hadn't been done, you know, melding together different influences but creating something new.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Also, just like with Cub, it's the same thing of like doing it yourself. So these days you've got all this technology where you can make your own light show and you can make all these weird sounds with all these effects and computers and gadgets and stuff, but we did everything ourselves. We hand-built light boxes so that we could sync all of our lights up to the show. Now you have MIDI setups and stuff that's all, it's all automated. But, you know, we wanted to be able to present a whole show that was, like, you know, fully controlled, controlling the environment so that we could really transport people in the experience.
It's pretty cool that, like, the musicians, like, you guys were doing that as opposed to, like, the light guy.
You know
what I mean?
I mean, it's just more knowledge for yourself to be able to know how to do all these things.
To do your to do your own show by yourself. That's pretty cool. Wow. It's amazing. So, on Femme Concept, we play 100% Femme Con. And for those of you who don't know, two of four categories have to be fulfilled. The music has to be produced by a female. The music has to be composed by a female. Lyrics are written by a female, or a female performs in the band. So that is what we play on this show. And in regarding to your experience as a musician in an all-female band, can you give us a little bit of kind of a experience rundown of how that was for you?
Well, we definitely did experience the unfortunate side of things in terms of, like, encountering, you know, male sound people and stuff like that who weren't really, you know, cool about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we also experienced tons of really awesome things.
Because it depends on the context and the time.
Exactly.
And where you guys were at. And
Because at the time of like, when you were at CHR and you had a show, FemCon wasn't a category that people had to fill, right? So do you, like... was that something that people were, like, talking about, like, trying to get more, like, female artists being played on air, or just, like, females playing shows, or not really?
I think that there was, like, an awareness that, you know, there should be a balance, and trying to, you know, seek that balance was a challenge, because, like I said earlier, a lot of people saw CITR as being this exclusive club, which made it even more intimidating for some women to enter into that fray.
Totally.
You know? So, yeah. I
You kind of got the, well, you kind of got the experience, like the in from your brother a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that kind he really helped to you know, introduce me to the station and make me feel comfortable. And
yeah,
whereas I can see that if I didn't know anybody here, to walk through that door is huge, you know, hugely, like, I applaud you. That's great, you know, because it's for a lot of people, it's a room full of strangers, and you might just want to know how to do one little thing here.
Yeah.
But to actually enter the station is, you know, it can be intimidating.
Totally.
And I would say that, I mean, that's still true for lots of people. Like, lots of people come and you hear them say that after. They're like, hey, I feel like I spent a few months here and I didn't really talk to anybody or do anything. And so it still stands true. And also, I mean, I think something we've talked about before is the struggle that females sometimes face, or those who identify as female, in, like, especially with, like, the technical side of things and wanting to, like, get trained and things like that, you know. They feel like they, for whatever reason, it's harder for them to do that or get involved than it maybe is for men. And so, yeah, like, CITR is trying to tackle that, but it's a hard thing to do, and it's still happening.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I remember what you just said about how people will come and they'll say, well, I was there for a long time, but I didn't really do anything, and nobody really talked to me. And it's like, well, that's also part of the CITR things, that you kind of have to just kind of grab it.
Yes,
and take
absolutely.
It and do what you want. Because somebody might say, oh, you can't do that, that's not what you do here, or whatever. But too bad, I'm doing it. I'm gonna,
I find rarely that comes up. I mean, most people are pretty okay with whatever, you know, but it's just a matter of you taking initiative, right?
Right? Exactly.
So, yeah. It's part of the whole process of getting involved here, for sure. And sticking your head in the doors a lot and being like,
but
it's
me
again.
Well, also, I mean, just the thing of, like, just come to the station and just hang out in the lounge.
Yeah.
You can just sit there and eat your lunch and just see how you feel. I mean, it's not for everybody.
Absolutely.
Of course, but it's worth trying out.
You could even get a band out of it. So.
Yeah. Who knows?
Exactly.
History shows that is something that has happened quite a bit. So, awesome. Okay, well, we're going to break, I think, for a little bit more music. We're going to listen to the song Nicholas Bragg, which is originally by Cub on their Hot Dog Day 7-inch. And this track we're going to listen to is the newly released one by Tough Age, Vancouver band who has recently relocated to Toronto.
Wasn't a CITR president?
Yes. Yeah, Penny Clark is doing the vocals on this, and she was a past president of CITR Student Exec, as I'm the current president of CITR Student Exec, which is funny, and then you have also been a president. So,
and I'm coming up next.
All right. So yeah, lots of, it's all good things happening.
Careful. anymore. We have not talked for so long. And if we had to talk, what could we say, sitting side by side? Well, so long ago we were dancing and singing. We could be together and say nothing. And so long ago, it all meant much more than this. Well, the pond, it seems so quiet tonight, and the swans are all huddled together. Well, I stand alone here on my way home again, where no one is there waiting. So long ago we were dancing and singing, and it all meant something. Well, so long ago, me and my friend, we were friendly, and now we don't see each other no more.
Brides burn down Vancouver's Vogue Theatre this February 25th. You think you can handle it? These Wild Ones invite you to experience their live show featuring openers Ghost Town and Memphis Mayfire. Tickets are available online through Union Events and at the Vogue Theatre box office. This February 25th at the Vogue Theatre. Mark the date in your calendar. In black. This heart of fire is burning.
Foxy, you look window sells madly.
Lipstick.
Gotta get this package open. It's tape. So what does it say? February 1st, 2015. Why, it's today.
This corridor, we got the net. Fiber, are we issue virus?
Was very
quick. Oh, but
what did any of this mean? No. What does it mean?
Unlock the secrets of this February's Discorder with feature articles on Freak Heatwaves, Brass, Did You Die, New Balance, Natasha Broad, and CITR's Fun Drive, concert reviews, venue updates, illustration and short fiction. Unearth it all in this month's issue. Available around town and at local venues. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, Vinyl Records, Rickshaw Theater, Live Van, Recruit in Canada, The Fox Cabaret, AMS Events, Extra Living, and Union Events.
All makes sense now.
This corridor, not magazine at home. You see, yeah, stat har.
Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Femme Concept. My name is Erica.
I'm Eleanor.
I'm Robin. Hello.
Special guest Robin in the house. That song that you just heard was by Julie Drawn called Me and My Friend, and she will be playing in Vancouver next week on Tuesday, almost the same day, not quite, and she's doing a kind of pre-show intimate session at Red Cat Records before that, and then the song we heard before
That was Nicholas Bragg, which is a cover of Cub's song, Nicholas Bragg, from their album Hot Dog Day EP. EP, I guess.
Yeah.
And
who Robin is a member of. One of the many reasons we asked her to come on the show today. So we've got about 10 minutes left of the show. And we wanted to talk to Robin a bit about what she's doing now. Some really, really cool work in Egypt.
Yep, it's very different from everything I've done before. I've been traveling in Egypt for the last 2 years, part of an expedition studying cave paintings out in the Egyptian Sahara. And also, over the course of being there, we have made a discovery of a solar equinox temple alignment. So this spring equinox, if you go to Siwa Oasis in Egypt, you'll be able to see something spectacular.
Yeah. So you've spent the last, how long have you been in Egypt for now?
2 years, just 2 years. That was at the end of the expedition that when we went out into the desert to examine these amazing cave paintings.
Cool, yeah. Cool. And so I guess the oasis that you're in, common misconception of people that an oasis is just a green patch, but it's actually a place where people live, correct?
Yes.
What has living there been like?
It's been an amazing experience. Siwa Oasis is one of the last places in that whole area that hasn't really been exposed to the outside world until fairly recently. So suddenly, in the last decade or so, there's just been this influx of the outside world. So they still maintain many of their old ancient ways, and it's really, really fascinating. You want to know about the women?
we always want to know about the
women. Question's coming.
Yeah. Well, it is fascinating because it is a very, on the surface, it's a very male society, because all the women aren't visible in society. If you're married, you're a woman, you're not allowed to be out in public uncovered. So if any married women go outside their garden, they must be fully covered with a shawl, full cover on the face. So you don't see any skin, any face, no eyes at all. And it's quite mysterious when you do fleetingly see these people. But all the women basically have their own separate community that's in the house and in the garden. And it's a very strong female society in that regard. But you just, anybody else outside will never really see it.
Mm-hmm. And so have you kind of, I mean, obviously you're an outsider, but have you kind of gotten to see certain aspects of it over your time there?
Yes, I've made friends with certain people in the oasis, and so they've invited me to their home. So I've been able to spend time with these women, and they're beautiful and just full of life and are very positive and love their families. So that's been a wonderful experience into itself. Plus, a lot of them do not know English or even Arabic, for that matter. So they only know their own language, which is Siwi. So, you know, we haven't been able to talk, but we've been able to communicate.
Wow, that's really cool. The thought of, I mean, we rely on language so heavily, but I'm sure once you get in a place where it's not an option, you
And photography is forbidden. You are not permitted to take a photo of a Siwin woman. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, their identity is really confined to that certain space in the home and in the garden. Wow, that's definitely a different way of life.
So in your project in Egypt, you're putting together a book and a film as well, correct?
Yes, that's for the discovery that's involving the cave paintings that are in the deep Sahara. So where the cave is located is in one of the very most remote places in the Sahara Desert where nobody goes. It's in the southwest corner of Egypt. And I had the privilege to actually go out there and see these paintings and caves for myself, and it was spectacular and mind-blowing. But we have been working on a bunch of research and decoding of the symbolism in these paintings, and so a book and a film are both in progress. TBA.
Cool. And where can people go to, like, kind of learn a little bit more about it?
Well, we have a website up right now. It's barely scratches the surface. It's like the tip of the iceberg of everything. It's thesourceinthesahara.com. And we'll be updating and adding to it extensively in the next while. But right now, it's just the bare minimum bits, particularly about the solar equinox event.
Cool. Cool. So, I mean, we were talking a lot about CITR history before, but just another example of kind of looking into the past and
digging
kind of,
deeper.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I'm not sure. We don't have too much time left here on the show, but I mean, I would love to hear more about it, and definitely think people should check out the website because it just like. Yeah, it sounds really
fascinating. Well, I'll definitely keep you posted.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
We have lots of other good programming, as always, coming up on CITR. So stay tuned in. It's Radio Zero is up next. And then after that, it is the one and only Nardwar, one of your friends, Robin.
My dear friend from many years ago.
And then after Nardwar, it is the news at 5 o'clock. So, yeah, just stay tuned in. And any final words?
Well, we are going to go out with a song recommended by Robin, and it's by a band called Dengue Fever. Dengue Fever, and they're a Cambodian band.
In L.A.
Did you have any final parting words?
I love CITR. It's awesome. Support CITR. Yay!
Fun Drive's coming up, so you will have an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, we'll be telling you all about that in the next few weeks, so definitely tune in next week if you want to know more. Cool. All right, have a good weekend, everybody.
Rồi đêm nay, ôn tam tam đường chân tri, mưa đường đà ra, đi sờ ngơ với nhau ní. Rồi đêm nay, ôn tam tam đường chân tri, mưa đường đà ra, đi sờ ngơ với.